Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, the living Christ. Amen. Amen. So I'm only 26 years old, so I'm going to call this a classic, and many of you probably won't, but who here remembers the classic Christmas movie, The Santa Claus, featuring Tim Allen? Raise your hand if you remember it. Okay. I do know it's Easter, but we'll start with Christmas. So in that movie, Tim Allen plays a character called Scott Calvin, who has a son named Charlie. And Charlie is like every other kid at Christmas, right? He's super excited. The snow is coming. Santa Claus is coming. There'll be presents under the tree. Just everything that comes with Christmas is fueling him. He's pumped. Scott, maybe a little less. Probably like most parents, right? But through a series of events on Christmas Eve night, Scott finds himself in Santa's suit, in a sleigh, delivering presents, and landing, of all places, in the North Pole. And it's here where we meet Judy the elf, who hands him what we hear is the best cup of hot cocoa. And she says to him, "You look distressed." And Scott affirms that, and says, "Absolutely." And he looks out this window at the amazing, unbelievable things that he sees in the North Pole. He points to a polar bear directing traffic. And he says, "I see this, but I just can't believe it." And Judy's response is, "Well, you're missing the point. Seeing isn't believing," she says, "but believing is seeing." This week, as we always do in the second week of Easter, we turn and we read about Thomas, the disciple whom gets a bad rap at this point in Easter, right? It seems he doesn't understand what Judy the elf and everybody else in the North Pole gets. You don't have to see it to believe it. But my question to you this morning is, can you blame Thomas? Can you blame Thomas for his doubt that he experiences in this story? Think about it. Thomas, the other disciples, their faith is built on a foundation primarily of seeing Jesus, do amazing and incredible things. They saw Jesus walking in Galilee. They saw Jesus working signs or miracles, healing people, feeding people. They sat there and watched Jesus talk about how he's the bread of life, the Son of God, the Messiah. And they didn't get it right. They didn't understand what he was saying, and we read that throughout the Gospels. But that doesn't mean they didn't believe in him. They did. They walked alongside him, despite not understanding. This morning, everyone in that room saw Jesus risen from the dead except Thomas. Mary at the empty tomb saw Jesus. All of the disciples in that room saw Jesus, but Thomas wasn't there. Thomas was the first person who had to wrestle with what it means to have faith in Jesus without seeing face to face, without experiencing with his eyes that Jesus was in fact alive again. Hundreds, maybe thousands of people came to know Jesus, yes, through what they heard, but also through what they saw when Jesus walked on this earth. But millions, billions, I mean tons of people, including you and me, have come to know Jesus since then by hearing about Jesus. We didn't see and then have faith, but we have faith. We believe. Like Thomas, we wrestle with faith. He was the first of us who had to wrestle with that, but we do, right? We find ourselves asking, "God, why is this happening to me? God, why Why does she have to have this diagnosis? God, why did that young one get in that car accident? Why couldn't it have been me? And these questions translate to other questions, deeper questions. God, are you even listening? God, do you even care? God, are you even real? We doubt. It's part of being human. It's part of having faith and not seeing Jesus face to face. And you might have been told at one point in your life, maybe when you were growing up, that it wasn't okay to doubt. It wasn't okay to question God. Some of you probably heard this. But this morning when we look at Thomas, we see that that is okay. Jesus doesn't cast Thomas away. He doesn't condemn Thomas. But look at what he does do. In Thomas's doubt, in Thomas's wrestling with this, what it means to be a faithful person in a world without Jesus in it, Jesus shows up. Jesus enters into that doubt, into that fear, into that unknown, and meets Thomas there. He comes into that room and he says, "Peace be with you." He shows Thomas that he continues to love him, that he continues to care about him, and that he continues to be present. Another thing happens in that room. Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit on them. Another reminder that we're not alone in this journey of life, in this journey of faith, that God continues to be with us in that doubt, in our struggle, in our fear. I can't think of better news than the news that is the Easter story, that Jesus died, rose, and continues to work in the world and in our lives out of God's deep love for us. Not being your regular pastor who has to see you every week, I feel comfortable taking this one step further. And I would with my own congregation too. The story, though it means so much to us, and it is another story of Christ's love for all of us, we also get a mission here, right? As the church begins in the absence of Jesus, and we have to wrestle with what it means to not see him, Jesus says, "Just as the Father sent me, so I send you." That love that I keep talking about isn't just for us in this room. It's not just for me. It's not just for you. But Jesus says he sends us out. And he sends us out to share that love. And this is something that we as Lutherans aren't good at. I've read books in seminary about our struggle with evangelism, but I want you to think about who it is that the church or the world needs to connect with, needs to share that love with. Who in this world needs to experience the deep and unfathomable love of God? Who needs to hear a word of love, of peace, and of grace? And my prayer is that just as Jesus is called here by God, we go out called by Jesus to do the same. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. We didn't see Jesus on that cross. We didn't see the tomb empty. But we do believe. We believe because we've been told. in the Bible, at church, by our family, by our friends. So knowing and experiencing that love of God, may we share that love with the world, with all of those who are in need, all of those who struggle, and all of those who don't know what it means to be truly loved and given new life. And with that, let the church say amen.
Amen. Amen.